This series presents information based in part on theory and conjecture. The producer's purpose is to suggest some possible explanations, but not necessarily the only ones, to the mysteries we will examine.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of the Paranormal Pulse podcast. My name is Lance Philip, and on the line with me is my co-host, Chris Bruno. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Lance. What's going on?
Nothing much. Read some books this week, which, you know, we're going to go over today, and some good, some bad. So.
Yeah, well, I saw a link that you sent me, and I think this is the first book that you wanted to talk about. Well, real quick, before we go any further, yes, we're Paranormal Pulse. If you want to find us, you can find us on Facebook. We have a brand new page just for the podcast called Paranormal Pulse Podcast. Lots of P's, the triple P. Go on Facebook, like our page. You can listen to this episode and obviously past episodes on our Facebook page. Very cool stuff. You can find our paranormal investigative team, East Coast Ghosts. That's East Coast with a K, Ghost, also on Facebook. And EKGParanormal.com is the website. And if you want to check out some of the text videos, we'll be on YouTube as well. And we can go over all these again. I'll recap them at the end of the show. But I just wanted to get that out there. So you know what we're talking about. We'll put some links up there about these books. Well, maybe not. I don't know. This one book you weren't really thrilled with. It's called Ghost Hunting for the Sensible Investigator. This is the second edition. It is available on Amazon if you want to see what we're talking about, by Romulus Crowe. And, well, it even says right in the description you may not agree with it. So tell us more about it, Lance, and how you feel about this book.
Well, I'll tell you. You know, I read a lot of books on the paranormal, and a lot of them are really good. Unfortunately, this is not one of them. And it's not because you know, some people be like, well, you know, everybody's got a different opinion on and different theories on ghost hunting. It has nothing to do with that. I don't mind. I don't have any objections to people's theories that may differ than mine. But when you misstate some things that are fact, that's what bothers me. And just to give you an idea, the gentleman who wrote this book, Romulus Crowe, is a paranormal investigator based out of England. And he, A, is very bitter towards the field, it seems like. He just seems like he's bitter towards any of the television shows, but also anybody who doesn't investigate his way.
Okay.
I'm just going to break down his book starts out with an introduction, and then it goes immediately into reasons for failure, which he talks about why ghost hunters fail. Then he goes into a chapter with dealing with the skeptics, which I'm just going to run down these real quick because I'll tell you exactly. The dealing with the skeptics chapter, I really thought was a good one. Then he has one called pedantic terminologist, where he talks about people who get hung up on different terms used in paranormal investigating, how they argue back and forth. That was also, I will admit, a very good chapter. Then he goes into scouting out locations, and this is where he starts to lose me. I didn't necessarily agree with that chapter, but I didn't disagree with it. I just really kind of lost it. But the one he kills me on, going down, he talks about watching reruns of ghost hunting shows, equipment, essential and otherwise. And he goes into equipment that should be used and shouldn't be used. The problem here is that he talks about equipment, but, and I should say, this is the second edition of this book. Apparently he put it out 5 years ago originally, and this version was meant to update the information that may have changed. Unfortunately, to me, it didn't seem like he kept up with the times.
According to this, it was published in January 25th, 2012, so little more than a year ago. So how far behind with the technology was he in this book?
He misrepresents how some of the technology works. Even at that, I can forgive, because people do have different theories on how to use some of the equipment as far as EMF meters and things like that. But the one that infuriated me as a professional photographer, really infuriated me, was his chapter on photography. The information he gives in there is just wrong, and he's steering people in the wrong direction. He's telling people how digital cameras are inferior to film cameras and how you can't match the resolution. That's true in 1995. That's not true in 2013, unfortunately.
Yeah, I disagree with that, too. I mean, if anything, the resolution is better on some of these cameras today. So that's just crazy. So you would recommend this book, not recommend this book?
No, in fact, I'm not going to lie. I gave it a really bad review on Amazon because I was... There's other things in here that just really infuriated me. And again, it had nothing to do with the stuff that was based on opinion. If it were just the stuff that was based on opinion, I could see that because we all have different experiences. We all do things differently. That's fine. It's just I couldn't stand the fact that he misrepresents... And I don't know if it's because he's not keeping up with the technology or if he's just, you know, so used to using certain sets of technology that he's ignoring the progress that's been made, you know?
And progress on technology, it evolves just like computers, just like anything, any other industry. The technology evolves and you must evolve with it. And it doesn't sound like he has any interest in the newer stuff.
Right. And then he knows he's being combative because the last chapter of the book is called Argue With Me, where he tells you where you can find him online to argue with him, you know? so I can almost tell at that point he's almost to an extent being combative and taking alternative views just to get a rise out of people, at least in my opinion. He does have some really good chapters at the end of the book, which are based on science and religion. That's a really good chapter, and one on the scientific way, where he talks about, you know, using the scientific method and using it in a way that would apply to our field. That's really good, but unfortunately, there's not enough of that kind of information in the book, and there's some very misleading information. So, it's just a book I just, honestly, I wouldn't recommend.
So, overall, out of 5 stars, what would you rate it?
I gave it a 2.
A 2. So, this book that we're talking about is called Ghost Hunting for the Sensible Investigator, 2nd edition.
Right.
It's available on Amazon.com. Romulus Crowe, let me try that again, Romulus Crowe is the author, and not such a great review, but you can check for yourself. We're not promoting it for him, but we certainly don't want to exclude his credit. So
right.
If you want to check it out and read it, it's there for you.
Yeah, because
on the Kindle.
Yeah, and absolutely. And the thing is, other people may really love the book. I just personally didn't.
Right, and for your own reasons. So now you did read another book.
Yes.
By Lori Champion, which we kind of know. And her book is also available on Amazon. Really good price. It's called Bringing the Paranormal Field Out of the Dark Ages. Let's see, and it's, again, like I said, available on Amazon, $7 for Kindle version. That's awesome. What do you think about this book? Is this worth buying? Is this worth reading?
Yes, it's worth reading. I'm not going to lie. I disagree with a good portion of the book, but the difference is Lori's been doing this since the early 70s. This book is unlike a lot of other books out there that are just rehashed information. A lot of people are putting out ghost hunting books these days, and they're just taking information they find in other books, rewording it, and putting it out there. Lori doesn't. Lori really gives you opinions that are all her own, and I really appreciated that. This book is very thought-provoking, and that is the thing I look for most in a book. Does it make me think, and does it make me reconsider some of my stances on a lot of the issues we have and a lot of the things we do? But again, this is a book that I don't 100% agree with, but I respect. And that's the big difference. The other guy, I had no respect for after reading that book. With this book, I'm telling you, Lori does a great job. A, it's a decent-sized book. I read it in two sittings because it's a very good read. She writes in a nice style that is really fun to read.
Real quick, tell me basically, what is the book about? We're bringing the paranormal field out of the dark ages into the title. What does that mean?
Well, Lori's another one who is, you can tell right away, she's against the TV ghost hunting and the new generation of ghost hunters out there.
Okay.
She considers herself more of a paranormal researcher as opposed to a ghost hunter. And she's
more scientific.
Not necessarily scientific, but a more serious type of person who is taking this and helping clients as opposed to who she thinks are more amateurish type of investigators who are just going to cemeteries and are more thrill seekers as opposed to really trying to help people. Lori specializes in dark haunts and dealing with dark type of things. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean demons. She's actually against demons and the belief of demons and makes it very clear in the book. But she breaks down the chapters. She talks about outdated and biased ideas and their original sources in her first chapter. It's a really good chapter because she gives you her opinions. And again, her opinions are based on what she's seen in the field. Now, unfortunately, what she's seen in the field is not necessarily the same as what I've seen in the field or you've seen in the field because we've investigated together. We've had different experiences. Does that make either one of us wrong or right? I don't know. I don't think so. We're just different. We've had different experiences.
Everybody has different experiences.
And obviously I'm not going to say because she's been doing this way longer than I have. But there are certain things I think she misses the mark on, especially when she talks about the technology. Her biggest thing with the technology is she thinks basically that you should leave cameras behind and leave EMF meters behind, and that the real device you should be concentrating on is a voice recorder for getting EVPs, and that you should use the EVPs that you're getting to connect and communicate with the spirits that are out there. Not 100% bad idea, but my thing is that she feels that EMF detectors and things like that aren't proven technology as far as, you know, no one can ever prove that a ghost really does manifest and cause shifts in the EMF field. It hasn't been proven. But my thinking is, conversely, using that logic, no one can actually prove that it's a real spirit on an EVP. We suspect it is. But even with that, I can still respect that. I respect all of the book, actually. But some of the ones that chapters that really impressed me in here, she has a chapter. Chapter 9 is Animal Spirits and Elementals. That is a fantastic chapter on animal spirits, because that's a segment of ghost hunting that I think people overlook. I know I have had experience with animal hauntings in my own home. And truthfully speaking, she tells some stories in this chapter. One of them that really touched me, because it was very similar to an experience I had. So I could really relate to it. And I actually got a real melancholy feeling that came over me when I was reading the chapter. And it really hit home. And I really loved that chapter of the book.
I have a few of those experiences myself. And it's definitely something that is completely overlooked. A lot of investigators, they don't even think about that element.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're talking about Bringing the Paranormal Field Out of the Dark Ages by Lori Champion, available online at Amazon.com. Very interesting book. Lance, of course, avid reader of everything. Real quick about the author, Lori Champion. This is right from Amazon, so I'm not making it up. She has been a hostile haunts resolutionist for 35 years now. She specializes in hostile haunts and helps people to resolve hauntings that are extreme. She was born right here in New Jersey, which is where we record. And Lori now lives in Florida. She takes many cases a year and also acts as an advisory for others in the field nationwide on hostile haunting. So if you have any interest of having either Lori come and investigate for you or just to read her book, it's online, Bringing the Paranormal Field Out of the Dark Ages at Amazon.com. I know I'm repeating myself, but I can't possibly express myself enough on someone who's been in the field for 35 years. That's just impressive.
Oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, we have a little bit of a relationship with, we don't know her personally, but we know her through Facebook, and she's part of one of the paranormal groups that we have on Facebook, and she does contribute a lot, and she's very knowledgeable. I mean, you know, I would never argue that point, and she has some really good ideas. Like I said, the thing that impressed me most is that she didn't rehash everybody else's book. Everything in here is honestly, you know, pretty original idea. Now, what's nice about that is you get to hear some ideas that you would never come across just reading the same old books. So I was really impressed with this book as far as being able to offer original ideas.
That's what we need. We need fresh, even though she's been in the field for 35 years, she's posed some fresh questions for people to consider while they're doing their investigations, while they're in their groups. You know, you want to consider everything that's out there and always learn. And this is somebody definitely that you would want to learn from.
And the thing is, you're definitely going to take some things away from it, and it's going to make you shake your head. And honestly, there were times where I read the book and I was just getting downright aggravated because I was like, oh, I don't agree with that. But it wasn't because it wasn't a well thought out idea. Everything in here is very well thought out, and I really respect the book a lot, and I look forward to whatever else she's going to write in the future. So it's a real good job on her part.
So Lance, on a scale of 1 to 5, what would you rate this book as? Is Bringing the Paranormal Field Out of the Dark Ages?
Again, this is a book I rated on Amazon. I gave it 4 stars out of 5. I like to rate the books after I read them on there. I thought it was well worth reading, and I left a really long-winded review on Amazon. So you'll see that under there. So, yeah, I absolutely, you know, thought it was a great book. So,
cool. We'll recap all of this stuff that we go over today at the end of the show. Right now, I think that we're going to take a little break, And then we're going to come back and do listener questions, because we've got a few of them, and some of them are doozies. So it might take a few minutes to answer them.
Sounds good.
Take a deep breath and relax as we check your paranormal pulse.
Okay, so we're back, and we have some great listener questions this week. Some came from our brand new Paranormal Pulse podcast Facebook page. You can find us on there at Facebook. It's exactly that, Paranormal Pulse Podcast. It's easy to search. Some came from our EKG page. That's East Coast Ghost, Coast with a K. And we're going to start with Pamela C. This is an interesting and techy kind of question, which is definitely going to be first, Lance. Pamela C. asks, what is the difference between matrixing a sound that you hear on EVPs and it being a true sound of a spirit speaking? And can you give examples, possibly?
Well, the difference is that a true EVP is an electromagnetic anomaly that will appear on your digital recorder that you did not hear at the time. Now, better recorders will actually filter out a lot of the background noise that would be normally caused by cheap noisy recorders.
Like a noise canceling thing?
Absolutely, and they have better microphones. For instance, like the Zoom H1 unit that we use, it has an XY microphone, meaning that the microphones are crossed in two different directions. So you're picking up sounds all around as opposed to one single mono microphone. The Zoom would record in stereo, where your inexpensive Olympus units that really aren't made for picking up clear sound, they were made for dictation, so where sound is not imperative. They were originally invented for picking up, you know, audio if you were in college listening to a professor and that sort of thing. So having crystal clear audio really wasn't the most important thing. So they have really inexpensive, low quality microphones, and what that does, it adds noise into the recording, and many times that noise is picked up by investigators who will matrix things. Basically, they'll hear something that they recognize, because that's what their brain is telling them should be there.
Right.
So a lot of, and this
that
is something
a lot.
Well, absolutely. There have been times where I have heard things because I know the background of a location, and I'm thinking, you know, in my head, subconsciously, I'm thinking we should be getting these type of words, and all of a sudden I'll hear some noise and I'll think, let's play that back. And in my head, I'm hearing it as a word or a phrase. And what I like to do with that is I like to grab Jen and play it for her without telling her what I hear. And then she'll tell me
Absolutely.
If she hears something. If she hears it, then I know it's truly there. And I will admit, I'm better at picking up EVPs than she is. So that's why I know, definitely, if she says it's there, I have something. But in most cases...
I can't count how many times that's happened where you've been like, you know, other investigations, other teams that we've been, you know, working with, and they're like, oh, don't you hear them say blah, 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 or hello, or whatever the words may be. Well, now you've just influenced them, that person that you're trying to have it reviewed, you've just influenced them on what they're supposed to hear. So how do you know that's accurate? So you're doing, at least in my opinion, completely the right thing. Don't tell them anything.
Right.
And
that's...
see if you actually hear something.
Absolutely. You know, it's the same way, you know, we talk about matrixing in pictures, where people will people will see things because your head wants to recognize familiar shapes and forms. It's the same thing.
Sure.
Your head wants to recognize familiar sounds and words, but those words may not truly be there. Unfortunately, I don't have a real clear audio piece that would show it, because it's hard, because again, that's going to be something that, you know, somebody may actually sit there and think they hear something and somebody may not. So it's hard to say, you know, present an audio piece like that. But the reality is, this happens especially with inexpensive recorders. And on Ghost Adventures and some of the other places, there are the Constantinos, who are, you know, known in the field as the EVP experts. But if you look, they use really old recorders that are kind of outdated and have poor microphones. And Well, those units add a lot of extra noise into the recording. And what a lot of times, what you're hearing is just that. It's just the noise. It's not really an EVP. Now, conversely, though,
you see them influencing each other with that, too. It's a whole lot of, did you hear him say whatever the words are that people they said? So now they're influencing their teammates, too.
Well, I actually do think they're very good at what they do, but the problem is just that how much of it is that added noise making it sound like words, you know, and that you can make that apply to the situation. Now, I've heard them talk conversely, thinking that I've heard them say that you should use lower quality recorders because they feel it's through that added noise that the spirits are speaking. I don't know. I really don't. Gotcha. And that's, you know, and
you
that's
know, the other thing too with this question or it being a true sound of a spirit speaking. Honestly, it is number one. You don't know as far as the noise is, you know, on the lower quality recorders, the technical side of it. It is all up for interpretation. But to truly be able to confirm that piece of evidence, you can't confirm it by itself. You have to have supporting evidence to confirm that there is possibly those words, you know, that those words were actually spoken by a spirit. You have to have something else to back it up, at least in my opinion.
Right. That's the whole thing, too. That's what separates an AVP from an EVP. An AVP is what some people will call a disembodied voice, where you actually hear it, where an EVP is purely electronic. So I could see, you know, usually when people are matrixing, it's not an EVP they're hearing. You know, technically, you kind of say it's an AVP because they're hearing the added noise. You know, that's just my take on it, you know.
Well, I hope that we answered your question, Pamela C. We're going to go to the next one. And Pamela asked that question on our East Coast Ghost Facebook page, which you can go on and ask questions on there. But we do encourage you to go to our brand new Paranormal Pulse podcast page. Real easy to find. It's exactly that title. So this one came from EKG as well. It's Rick G. He said, here's one. What is your take or opinion on the theory that ghosts or spirits are actually interdimensional beings? We're time travelers observing us. That is a very interesting interesting theory. What do you think, Lance?
Well, you know, there's been a theory about a haunt that, you know, we all know of residual haunts and intelligent haunts. There's also been a lot of theory of what's called a warp. And what that is, it's basically where you have, you're, say, in your kitchen. All of a sudden you look over and you see somebody in your kitchen who's dressed in an outfit from the 1800s, okay?
Right.
They're actually, in their time period, in the same place. And just for an instance, the two time frames meet, opening up a slight...
Like a parallel.
And so it's not necessarily time travel, but you're seeing somebody from a different time, but in the same place. You know, and those hauntings are... It's not even a haunting. And, you know, that's something...
No, there's science behind this theory.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. It all goes back to string theory in physics. And, you know, Dr. Michio Kaku explains it fantastically in some of his books. Basically, when we look at a timeline, we look at it as linear from left to right. But the reality is time twists and turns over itself. The only reason why we see it, because it's easier to put on paper, is a straight line. So... One of the theories is that where the timelines actually cross over to each other, for slight periods of time, they actually interconnect. And some people actually feel that's where residual hauntings come from, where it's the two dimensions. It's the two dimensions and the timelines intersecting, and just for a brief moment. And that's why residual hauntings are not always there. And that's because the timelines aren't always overlapping. So it's a real interesting theory.
It is. The science behind it is again, I don't know if it's solid or if it's all pure theory, but, I mean, it's very interesting. I have seen a few documentaries about that kind of thing, but not necessarily time travelers observing us. I mean, not that I disagree with it, but me personally, that sounds a little too Back to the Future for me.
What, Back to the Future? Come on, you don't have your flux capacitor.
The whole time travel.
You don't have your flux capacitor and your DeLorean waiting outside?
No, I'm afraid not. Although it, you know, it's, they're good movies. I don't buy the whole time traveler thing, but that's just me.
Well, you know, that just to go off on a little tangent about, you know, flux capacitors. Years ago, that was always one of the great practical jokes. You call up Radio Shack and you ask them if they have flux capacitors.
Yeah, is your refrigerator running? You better go fetch it.
There's a book, actually, that I'll recommend that is a fantastic book, which explains a lot of how quantum physics can explain the paranormal. And the book is called Science, but it's spelled differently. It's P-S-I-E-N-C-E, How New Discoveries in Quantum Physics and New Science May Explain the Existence of Paranormal Phenomena. And the book is by Marie D. Jones. And what she does is she really takes quantum physics and explains how it makes everything we have in the paranormal field, all the experiences and whatnot, possible. So it's a book I recommend because it really does help in understanding exactly what we face.
It's very interesting. Yeah, it's Science, P-S-I-E-N-C-E. And, yep, Marie Jones. It's available on Amazon.com, real cheap. Kindle edition's only $10. I mean, really, to have that kind of information at your fingertips on your device, it's awesome. All right, so good question, Rick G., from our brand-new Paranormal Pulse podcast page. Linda M., this is a good one. Do you believe that a person can be physically levitated by a dark energy? And she says, I mean, have the person lifted up a wall and held there by an unseen entity? Or is this just in the movies? What was that movie? Paranormal Activity.
Right.
I think in my personal opinion, I think some people influence their own experiences in investigations by watching too much of that crap.
Well,
that's me. I mean, you get a certain thing in your head, they freak themselves out. Now, this, of course, physically being levitated, I mean, how do you mistake that? But
I don't
what
know.
Do you think? Is it possible?
See, anything's possible, but I will say something that I saw. I wasn't there, but when E-Crypt, they were doing an investigation in a private house, and mm-hmm. Jackie, who was sitting on a bed, and she was being videotaped, all of a sudden, something lifted her up and threw her against the wall. They had that on video. You can clearly see in the video, because I've seen the video. I wasn't there for that investigation, but you can see in the video, she didn't move her legs, and she's just lifts up and snaps back and hits her head against the wall. So something moved her. Some force moved her. Also, that same investigation, they had an object move across a night table with no one touching it. And they got that on video, too. But, I mean,
there's history of that documented that things have been moved, things have been pushed, shoved, you know, spurts of energy. But do you believe that someone can actually be picked up and held there?
Held there? I don't...
Or is that something
I don't either, because I think that would take so much energy to have happen. You know, even with, again, with Jackie being thrown up against the wall in that investigation, that must have taken such a forced, you know, an energy burst to make something like that happen. That, you know, it's a shame that they just didn't have EMF meters around her that would, you know, because I'm sure you would have seen some type of reaction on EMF meter. But, I mean, as far as full levitation, no, I would have a hard time believing it. But again,
that would take an extreme amount of energy by whatever entity it may be. And I know that there's the whole theory of seriously dark energy, but I think that it's been really, really hyped up by the media and by entertainment. Of course, this is what we want from entertainment, so this is what we get from entertainment. But if you're going to continue to watch that stuff and hope that you see it in real life, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, you were on an investigation with me where we were investigating a house that had supposedly dark energy. And if you remember, I was in the one room, though, where I felt a hand push my chest and push me back.
Right.
You know? But that's different than levitating, you know?
Energy, like we were saying before, a burst of energy possible. Sustained energy holding you in place, I don't know. I'm not saying that it couldn't happen. Obviously, none of us know if any of what we experience is real or not real, but going to damn well try to prove it.
Oh, absolutely.
But, yeah, I don't know about a sustained energy to hold somebody in place and just not let them go. I don't know about that. I think we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back with our last two questions, our listener questions, and that's that. I'll see you in a couple minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
Just relax. We are now checking your paranormal pulse.
Okay, we're back, and we have two more questions, listener questions. Thank you so much for these questions. They're fantastic. This comes from our EKG page, East Coast Ghost at Facebook, Coast with K, of course. And it's from April A. And this asks us, what is your favorite or most used piece of equipment and why? I think this might be pretty easy for you. No-brainer for Lance. Go ahead.
Actually, it's going to be one people don't realize. It's not going to be a camera, so to speak. I shouldn't say that. My personal favorite piece of equipment, okay, is believe it or not, it's my Mel meter. It's the Mel, it's the Mel REM ATDD. And what that is, it's a Mel meter. It gives me EMF. It gives me ambient temperature. So that way I can take EMF readings. I can detect hot and cold spots. It also has a REM pod built in. So I can put it down, and if something moves towards it, it'll alarm. You know, it also has a built-in flashlight. So it's a lot of tools in one, and that's one that I always like to have with me. My favorite strictly paranormal piece of equipment, so to speak. My overall, I think, though, favorite piece of equipment is going to be my video camera.
What do you use?
Well, I'm using, at this point, professional Sony camcorder. And it's recording everything in 1080 HD, so everything is crystal clear to the point that it almost looks 3D. And
wow.
Besides that, besides working as a video camera, obviously it has night vision built in. And again, night vision is crystal clear. It's better than some of my older, you know.
night vision's not flattering to anybody.
No, well. But the other thing it does, obviously, it takes still photos, and it takes very good still photos. So having that piece of equipment, it's really invaluable. Plus, if I had to, I could take audio off of it because it records in Dolby. And the sound is amazingly crystal clear. Dolby stereo. Cool. So I can pick up EVPs with that as well. Which is actually leading to, I know we have another question there by Frank.
Next question actually wraps right into the same information about what you're talking about already, if you want me to go into it.
Absolutely, because it really is going to combine what I just said. So
the next question, also from East Coast Ghost Facebook page, Frank B. asks, if you had to travel very light and could only take two pieces of gear with you, what would you take and why? And I think we're already starting to touch on that.
Yeah, it would actually be those two pieces of equipment. It would be my Sony camera, because again, I'm going to be able to film high-def video. I'm going to be able to film in night vision. I'm going to be able to take still photos. And if I have to, I can pick up EVPs with it because the audio is crystal clear. That teamed up with the Mel meter, which again is going to give me ambient temperature fluctuations. It's going to detect that. It's also, I should say, it also has an ambient temperature thermometer on there, which you can read the readouts on there. EMF meter, the REM pod that's built in. It right there, between those things, I can pretty much do a full ghost hunt with just two pieces of equipment.
And
so,
how cool is that, too? Because how many times before some of these things were, you know, invented, if you will, you've gone on an investigation and you've had to have a billion pockets. You have to wear like a fishing tackle vest because you have to put the recorder in one pocket, extra batteries in another, camera in another, video camcorder on your hand, you know, and the audio's crap on some of those video camera recorders. So,
well, if you
know, it's just like so much to carry, plus a flashlight. Mm-hmm. You can walk around.
Right. I mean,
like, how do you do that?
Right. And if you remember on some of the older investigations we went on, what did I wear? I wore a tactical military vest that had all kinds of pockets.
Exactly.
And why?
Right.
Because I had every piece of equipment you can imagine. Well, of course, I always have every piece of equipment you can imagine with me.
Yeah,
but,
you're the biggest tech geek I know. But
yeah, I mean,
but But everybody had to do that at some point. And there's a lot of teams who are still out there doing that. And I understand it could be a monetary issue. But you know what? Gather up all your equipment, sell it, and buy something that's all, you know, that is high quality, all in one, so you can free up your hands and not be so concerned about all the stuff you're carrying. You know, right. It really does make it so much easier.
By the way, I didn't...
I personally rely on you for most of the tech stuff because, you know, that's your thing. I have my one camera, my one piece of equipment that I like to take with me, which is my Olympus. And honestly, I love this thing.
Right.
It's a SZ30MR. It's a little old, but only by a year or so.
Well,
and it's a great camera.
And the one thing is, I didn't want to give that. There is a cliche answer that I hear a lot of people say, and I just didn't want to give it, but I'm going to. I like to bring my five senses. Yes, we know. Everybody does. You know, and that goes without saying. You should always have your five senses and technically your sixth sense with you, you know.
But you're going to need something to experience what you're experiencing to prove it.
Right, right.
You know, you have the whole goal here is not only to help resolve clients' issues that they may have, but also to be able to gather solid evidence. And you can't do that with your five senses and prove it to somebody.
So, absolutely.
You know. That's why equipment and tech gear and knowing how to use it, knowing its capability is so important. And that's why you're great, because you're perfect for that, Lance.
I'm a tech geek, I'll admit it.
And we need you like that. You know, everybody's got their strengths in the team, and that's important. So I heard from a little birdie that you're going to be going to something very cool this month. Phenomenology 105 in Gettysburg.
Yeah.
PA.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going down. We're going to get there on Friday, attend the events on Friday and Saturday.
Yes. It's March 21st through the 24th, and it looks very cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, we're going to go there. We're buying our tickets. We're going to go down there and get to meet some of the big Paris celebrities that are going to be there. The guest list that they have is you know, really long, and I'm actually going to bring my voice recorder down. So I'm going to see if I can sneak in some of the get with some of the talent down there and maybe get set up some interviews while I'm there.
That would be awesome. There's some really impressive people through here, and there's a lot of stuff. They're going to have the Chris Amy and John Zaffis from Haunted Collector is going to be there. John Tobin, Stacey Jones. I'm just scrolling through. There's a ton of people. Crossover Paranormal, Brian and Nick are going to be there. Adventure Myths, Frank and Jonathan. Chip Coffee is going to be there. The list goes on and on. Oh,
yeah.
Ghost Detectives, they're going to be there. Look at that.
Yeah, I mean,
so you,
everybody's
this
Josh
is
Gates.
It's going to be a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Bellinger's going to be there. Josh Gates, Dave Schrader. Oh. I mean, there's a lot of Paris celebrities down there. And I know, you know, some people aren't into these type of events, but we're going down. We won't check everybody out. Some of the people we know, actually, who are going to be down there, which is nice. We'll get to talk to some of the guests down there. And then also we're going to be attending the Chip Coffee gallery readings. So we're going to be attending that. And we're going to be doing one of the investigations at the Eisenhower Farm. So it should
Are you bringing your tuxedo? There's a zombie prom on Saturday, too.
No, unfortunately, we're not going to be going to the zombie prom because we're going to be doing the ghost hunt that night.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And the one good thing is, like, while we're down there, too, beside the event, we're going to be doing some ghost hunting on our own, some of the locations that we know from going down there so many times. So it's going to be a big thing, because the one nice thing is, because so many people are going to be involved with that event, that's going to take them to certain locations and hopefully free up some of the other locations we'd like to hit. So,
that's true.
It's something we're looking forward to.
Phenomenology. Try saying that 10 times fast.
Yeah.
Phenomenology 105, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. It's March 21st through the 24th. You can buy tickets online. We're not plugging it for them. We're just plugging it for the sake of plugging it because it's a cool event. phenomevents.com. That's where you can find more information.
And
they've got a zombie prom.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I would like to, for anybody else who's going to be attending it, to let us know on Facebook. Maybe we can do some type of meetup or whatnot. I already know I'm going to be pushing our team, so I'm going to be wearing my EKG shirt everywhere. So, you know,
nice.
Can't miss
Smart
me.
Man.
Big guy, bald head, goatee, EKG shirt, logo on the shirt. I'll be there.
If you see him, come up, shake his hand, say hi, maybe we'll interview.
You know.
But it's going to be a good time. There's so many guests that are going to be there. It's very cool.
And it's going to be, you know, the lectures going on, you know, each day. That's going to be fun to attend a lot of the lectures and hear some of the guest speakers. And should be information-packed. Yeah. And I really can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they've got a whole preliminary itinerary online at the website, too. So if you want to check out Phenomenology 105, it's phenomevents.com. Definitely going to be a good time. I'm a little jealous and looking forward to the pictures.
Well, don't forget, you know, that's the first big event for the East Coast that we're going to. But, you know, later on in September, we're going to have the big event in Bethlehem, PA.
There's a lot of paranormal teams that are going there. Any of you listeners, if you're going, again, do the same thing. Hit us up on Paranormal Pulse Podcast at Facebook or East Coast Ghost, Ghost with a K, Ghost at Facebook, and let us know because maybe Lance can meet up with you.
For the second event, I'd really like to get as many members of our team because that's so local for us. It's only, you know, hour and 45 minutes for us. So, I mean, I'd like to get as many. I'd like to get our whole team down there, you know, for that one.
That would be fun.
The Gettysburg trip is a little harder because, you know, even with me, I had to take time off from work just to go.
Yeah. Do you know the dates on that one, too?
I know it's in September. I don't know
September, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know the exact dates yet. You know, it's still a little bit of ways away, so.
We'll talk about it again when we get closer to it and maybe get some more information for our listeners, too.
It would be cool to meet some of the people who are listening to us and some of the friends we know from Facebook who we've never actually met. I know there are a lot
of... You know, happens.
Oh, absolutely. We had, you know, so.
Well, how long did that happen with us?
Oh, absolutely. We spoke for years before we actually met face to face. And the first time we met, we just bumped into each other in a store, so.
Yeah, that was a total accident.
Yeah, so.
I'm going to just go over real quick, because we've got a lot of information to rehash here as far as websites and all that good stuff. I'm going to go over some of the things that we talked about tonight really quick. We went over a couple of books. The first one that we just did last, it was Science, Science, How New Discoveries in Quantum Physics and New Science May Explain the Existence of Paranormal Phenomena, which is a fantastic book by Marie Jones, available on Amazon.com. We've got Bringing Paranormal Field Out of the Dark Ages by Lori Champion, also available on Amazon.com. And the last one, which was the first one we reviewed, Ghost Hunting for the Sensible Investigator, second edition. Not highly recommended, but if you want to know what all the hubbub's about, that also is available at Amazon.com by Romulus Crow. If you want to find us, that's the important thing to do. Go on to Facebook. Go to East Coast Ghosts on Facebook, Coast with a K, and you can find out all of the stuff about our investigations. That is our paranormal team. We've got our own website as well, ekgparanormal.com. And, of course, the podcast, Facebook, brand spanking new. Go like the page, share it with your friends, Paranormal Pulse Podcast at Facebook. And lastly, if you want to see Lance, the tech guru of our team, review equipment, show some photos from some investigations, video, that type of thing, he's on YouTube. It's Ghost Hunter 617 on YouTube. You can like and follow that as well. I think that wraps it up as far as information to recap. If you have anything that you want to share with us, any questions, we're going to be doing listener questions every podcast. We need you to ask them. So go online, again, to our Facebook pages, like them, and post your questions immediately, and you may hear us on the show talk about you and answer your question.
Also, to this, something I'm going to add a I haven't even told you about this yet, but I'm actually going to be looking to set up a phone line where people can just call up and leave a message with their question, so that way we can play their questions on the air. So look for that look for that on the Paranormal Pulse podcast page on Facebook. I'll post that information when it goes live.
Yeah, I'm very interested to hear what our listeners have to say. I would love to hear their questions, their feedback about the show. Always open for suggestions. And, of course, you know, guests out there, if you have something to say and you're in the paranormal field and you want to have an interview with us or just chit-chat, have fun, do the same thing. Hit us up at Paranormal Pulse Podcast at Facebook.
Okay, folks, what we want to do now is just give you a little bit of information about our next episode, which will be airing on Monday, March 25th. And that day we're going to have a special guest on. Chris, tell us about our guest.
We are going to have Leanna Jonas. she is part of an all-girl, three-girl team out of Denver, Colorado, called Spirit Realm Investigative Project. They've actually been featured on Paranormal Challenge, and they will be airing sometime this month. We'll give you more details during the show, on the show called My Ghost Story. So you definitely don't want to miss out on that interview. Again, that's Leanna Jonas, and they have a Facebook page if you want to check it out, Spirit Realm Investigative Project.
No,
on Facebook.
Okay. Chris, are there any last minute things you wanted to say?
I think that's good. I think we're wrapping it up. That's just about everything. And as we did before, we recapped all the websites, which there were a lot of information today. And I'm exhausted. So I think it's time to go, and we'll see you again on Monday the 25th.
Absolutely. And I just have one thing to tell everybody. Remember, folks, when everything's been said and done, there'll be nothing to say and do. And on that note, have a good night.
Jeez, Paul. Good night.
Good night.
The Paranormal Pulse. Like us on Facebook at East Coast Ghost. That's East Coast with a K. Ghost on Facebook. And feel it for yourself.
This series presents information based in part on theory and conjecture. The producer's purpose is to suggest some possible explanations, but not necessarily the only ones, to the mysteries we will examine.